right then. Take your Bible, if you will. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to get to hear this passage a good number of times over the next few weeks, as we have for the weeks that have already passed in this year. We started out in 2019 here talking about a topic and a subject, and we're going to take a look at it until the Lord's finished with it. I'm not sure exactly where that is. There just seem to be some things that just keep coming up. And so we're going to follow the trail until we get to the place where He wants to complete what we've started here. The theme and the idea that we have been strumming on from the first of the year here is the fact that we are to be progressing in our Christian faith. We are progressing even though we are not yet perfect. And so the goal is to progress day by day, week by week, and year by year, that we are not to be comfortable where we find ourselves this morning, but we're to be straining, that we're to be stretching, that we're to be growing, producing, becoming productive and more productive as time goes by. Philippians chapter 3, very familiar passage, and I want you to get the idea, see the idea of progressing in here. Looking at verse 12, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example," he said. The idea that we have here, what we've taken a look at so far, is the idea of we need to be progressing because we are not yet perfect. Living a life that's well-pleasing to the Lord is going to require some effort. There's never going to come a day this side of eternity that God's going to declare you to have arrived so that you can coast on through the rest of your time on this earth, the rest of your time on during these earthly days. We're to press toward the mark of perfection. We're to press toward the mark of holiness all of our born days. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is simply this: are we progressing? Are we progressing? Now, already there may be some of you sitting here thinking, okay, he's talking about following rules. He's talking about following regulations and rules and holding to certain issues like that. And I have to tell you, that's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about is relational. Relational. We are to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're relational individuals, we have to learn how to do certain things. And as we learn those things, life goes better for us. It's a relational thing that we're involved in here. It's not a bunch of rules, although there are rules involved. There are ways to do things better, ways that will keep you out of some trouble and keep you from some consequences and such as that. But we don't live by rules. We live by relationship. And so this is what I'm getting at when I'm talking about progressing here, progressing in that relationship that the Lord wants to have with us. Last week, we took a look at the idea of progressing in His presence. Progressing in His presence. We're understanding that our relationship, the relationship that we've come into, puts us in His presence every day, all day long. By virtue of the fact, and here's the kicker with this morning and every morning that we're getting together in this series, what I'm talking about today makes no sense to the unbeliever. You're sitting in here this morning, you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to try to pick out some rules or something that you can do, or a shortcut or a formula that you can work in order to do something here this morning. But what we're doing here is talking to those that are in the household of faith. And when you have a relationship, when you have a born-again relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, something happened the moment you surrendered to Him. And the moment that you surrendered to Him, He placed His Spirit in you. The down payment of something big to come, He placed in you. His Spirit, and He placed that Spirit in you for a reason. And that reason is so that you can progress in the relationship that He wants to have with you. The ultimate relationship that He wants to have with you. And so He placed a piece of Himself in there. And guess what? That piece goes with you wherever you go. You can't get rid of Him. He's there with you everywhere you go. Your last transgression, He was there. Saw it all. Heard it all. He was right there with you. You took Him right there with you. That last thing that you did, that last thing you didn't do, He was wherever you were instead of where you were supposed to be. We need to progress in His presence and understand that piece of that. That He will never leave us nor forsake us. And boy, that's music to my ears whenever I'm in trouble, isn't it? That is music to my ears whenever the water gets deep and, boy, things are crashing in, the trials are coming one behind another and the tribulation. Boy, that's music to my ears. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And we cry that out when we get into trouble. He will never leave me. You're never going to leave me, Lord. Praise the Lord. But when we're out there messing up, when we're out there acting like a heathen, we're out there doing what we want to do instead of what He wants us to be doing, we need to understand He'll never leave me nor forsake me. That He's right there with me, waiting on me to recognize and turn to Him. Get out of this situation that I put myself into. We need to progress in His presence. Progress in the awareness of the presence of God in us, wherever we are, whether that be good or whether that be bad, whether that be in the tough times or whether that be in the great times. He's there, and He's with us, and He cares about what's going on. So that's where I'm going to start today. We're going to start with that idea and with that premise here this morning, okay? And we want to see what it is, these areas. I'm going to put some questions out there. I'm going to throw some things to you over the course of this study so that we can kind of line ourselves up with what God puts a mark out there for. He puts a mark of excellence out there and says, let's measure up. Let's move up to that, if you will. I know I used to work with guys, and I've said this before, but I used to work with guys from time to time that you had to line them up to see if they were moving. Get them lined up with something stationary out there to see if they were actually moving. Some of the laziest human beings in my life I ever saw early on in my working career. They spent more time trying to get out of work than they did getting into work. And you had to line them up with something to see if they were going. There was times I even threatened to put a mirror over their mouth to see if there was any vapor in there. Just see if something was coming out, if they had any life to them at all with all of that. And so God sets standards. He sets things out there for us to shoot at. Holiness is a pretty big thing to shoot at, isn't it? Perfection is a pretty big thing to be shooting at, right? Now, of course, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, right? Oh, He does. Yeah, I think I read that in a book somewhere. It said there that we are to be holy as He is holy. So we've got something that we need to be shooting at. And if you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. We need to be shooting at something. That's perfection. That's holiness. That's this righteousness, this right living. We need to be shooting at that. Now, chances are we're not going to get real close to the bullseye on that one. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us, is what Scripture says. But then right behind that, it says, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to shoot for the mark, but when we miss, then we have a great God that we can ask to forgive us and to cleanse us for the things that we fall short in. Now, isn't that wonderful? So should we live on the back end or the front end? Well, we need to live on the front end. The front end is to shoot for the perfection of God, all right? With no excuses, no holding back. But when and if we do fail, then it is sure good to have something in the back pocket that we can pull out and wash ourselves with, God's bar of soap, wash ourselves with, and so wash with in so that we can move forward in His grace. Amen? I want to talk about another issue today, and I'm assuming here this morning that every one of you has the Spirit of the living God living inside of you, that you have bent your knee, that you have cried out to the Lord God Almighty for the salvation of your soul. I'm going on that assumption this morning. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, well, that ain't me. That ain't me. Let me tell you this. There's going to be enough in this message for you to understand what you need and who you need to go to get it. Amen? And so if you're lost here this morning, you don't have a relationship with God, this can be the first day of a brand new life. If you'll let it be. And for those of you that do have that Spirit of the living God living inside of you, this can be a brand new experience and a brand new step in a new direction today. If you'll get what I'm trying to get to you today. If you'll get the idea and the concept of this progress and growth in this particular area. I think it'll revolutionize part of your Christian life, the biggest part of your Christian life, if you'll get what I'm going to throw at you today. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Progressing but not yet perfect. And today we're going to talk about progressing in prayer. Progressing in prayer. I've already talked about this Spirit of God that lives inside of the believer. That Spirit of God is a dynamo that lives inside each child of God. And that dynamo, when he is fed, is the contact for spiritual growth. He's the contact point for all spiritual growth in your life. He came in at the moment of salvation. His name is the Holy Spirit. And His job is to empower the believer to become a mature Christian. That's His job. To empower you to become the mature Christian that God wants you to be. He wants you conformed, God does, wants you conformed to the image of His dear Son. He wants you to resemble Jesus in all respects, in all aspects. And what He's done is He's given you the Holy Spirit of God in order to empower you to be able to accomplish that end, to be able to move towards that goal. When you're born again, you have a new resident. You have a new power source, living resident in you. You have a new nature, and we've already talked about the old nature. It doesn't go away. It's still there. But you have a new nature that, when empowered, can put the brakes on that old nature and allow you to live a victorious Christian life. The Holy Spirit's in you, and it is mighty powerful. That Holy Spirit has the power to raise from the dead, by the way. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so that's a pretty mighty powerful, that we have living inside each and every one of us. And this mighty power that we have living in us has contact points. Your house has a lot of power hidden in its walls. You know that, right? It has a lot of power hidden in your walls. But you leave in the daytime from your house, and you turn all the lights and everything off in the house, and you leave the house in the daytime, and you come home at night in the dark. There's all kinds of power in the house, but it's not until you unlock the door and reach in there and feel around and flip up that switch that the power comes on and does something for you. Let you see and let you move and do the things that you need to do. That switch puts all those lines that are in that house in contact with the power source. Prayer is the contact point for the engaging of the Spirit to transform your life. Prayer is that flip that puts those contact points together, that puts the power source in play to fill the lines and do something that transforms things down the line. It's God's way. Prayer is God's way of linking our world and His world. We have a supernatural God. We live in a natural world. There's supernatural things going on here, but we can't see them. Readily see them. We can see them with the eyes of faith. We can see things that people can't see, but it's only when we're engaged. It's only when the contact points are touching. And it's prayer that puts that together. Prayer that puts that in its right place. And so prayer is what links our world and His world. It's where the rubber meets the road with the new covenant. Huh? That's where the rubber meets the road in the new covenant. Prayer. The Holy Spirit, engaging of that Holy Spirit. And it is your passport. Your passport to heavenly places. That's what prayer is. We're to pray without ceasing, are we not? We're told in the letter to the Thessalonians that we're to pray without ceasing. And the reason that we're to pray without ceasing is because it's the link between the physical world and the spiritual world. Continue in that prayer. And because the spiritual world controls the physical world, that's where this is going to become very, very important in our lives. The spiritual controls the physical. So we need to get a hold of the spiritual in order that the physical runs the way that it should. And because the spiritual world controls the physical world, getting to the spiritual world is going to be the most important thing. And the only way we can get to the spiritual world is to be transported there. And a lot of stuff had to be done to transport us there. And the stuff that was done was not done by you and me. Could not be done by you and me. But the things that needed to be done have been done to make it possible for you and I to be transported to the spiritual world in order to affect the things in this physical world. Prayer is the switch that puts the contact point of our life in contact with the Holy Spirit, transporting us to the spiritual world where we can be spiritually grown so that we can function as a mature Christian here in the physical world. That's why prayer is so important. And that's why Paul said that we are to pray without ceasing. When we're talking about praying without ceasing, obviously we're not talking about what we generally think of praying as about, because most of us, when we think about prayer, we think of the ritual. We think of it in a ritualistic way. I think about how many of you have trouble with going to the Lord in the morning, and it seems like you're saying the same thing over and over again. And you're saying the same thing in the same way, and after about 35, 40 seconds, your mind starts to drift. You run out of things to say, and you cut her short, and you say, check the box, I'm done for the day, got my prayer in, I'm ready to rock. Nobody said me, but I bet there's a lot of me in here. Huh? Because it's hard. It's a discipline. It's a relationship instead of a ritual. And when we approach it in a ritualistic fashion like that, there's no life in it. There's no life in that. And so it just becomes something by rote. Kind of becomes a lucky rabbit's foot that we put in our pocket for the day. I done said my prayer, and I'm ready to go. But Paul says, pray without ceasing. Let's put it in the same context of breathing, shall we? Huh? How many of us in the morning say, well, I'm going to be needing to breathe today, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes breathing in and out, and then I'm done. And I'm not going to breathe no more until tomorrow morning. What's going to be wrong with that picture? Breathing's going to be pretty necessary, isn't it? Breathing is absolutely necessary. And so in the same language that Paul would use over in 1 Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. What that simply means is, never not pray is a literal rendering of that. Never not pray. It's the same idea of breathing, never not breathe. You have to breathe in and breathe out. You have to breathe in and breathe out. But it becomes at some point very automatic, doesn't it? Until we get to thinking about it and then we think, boy, I'm breathing kind of heavy. Or I'm not breathing as much as I ought to. But it comes pretty naturally. It becomes very automatic. And so when he's talking about praying without ceasing, that's what he's talking about, that it becomes a part of your relationship. And in that relational relationship that you have, it's just as common, it's just as simple, it's just as frequent as your breathing would be. That you breathe in one way and you breathe out the other. And you talk to God one way and He talks back. He brings it back to you through that spirit medium. That's the go-between there. That spirit medium that links us, physical and spiritual world, that links us through there, and we pray continually, and it's like picking up your phone and getting somebody on the line and just leaving them on the line all day long. Pray without ceasing. Breathe without ceasing. Keep it in the same context, in the same light. Author of Hebrews here is writing to some folks. We studied through Hebrews here a while back on Wednesday nights. The author of Hebrews is writing to people who are not progressing in the faith. That's the whole premise of the book. That there's people that were not progressing in the faith. And in fact, what they were trying to do, what they were actually doing, was regressing in the faith. Not only were they not progressing, but they were going back. They were quitting on what was out in front of them and going back to what they had prior to coming into the household of faith. They had moved beyond into the new covenant here and been radically saved, born again, but now they were trying to live back in Judaism. They were not progressing, they were regressing. They weren't moving the right direction. The whole point of the book is to press on, is what Hebrews is about. Kind of like what Paul says over in Philippians chapter 3. Press on. Progress. Grow. Progress in this thing. In other words, there's nothing to go back to. You hear me? There's nothing to go back to. How many of you want to go back to your old life? Huh? What is there back there in your old life that could possibly be attractive enough to take you back there? Huh? After you've tasted of the good things of God, after you've tasted of the grace of God, after you've tasted of the mercy of God, what could be comparable to that in going back to that old life? And so the book of Hebrews is about progressing, moving forward, not quitting. Don't stop. Don't go back. Keep going forward. Progress. Grow. Get with it. Stay with it, boys and girls. This is the story that we have here. I want you to remember that when you're facing your next trial, that there's nothing to go back to. We need to look forward to what God can do. Every trial is an opportunity to grow. It's not a reason to quit on anything. So, we as saints have something available to us that will assist us as we move forward in our spiritual development. Let me read a little here now. Hebrews chapter 4. Looking at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't go back. Don't quit. Don't stop, he says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Most believers have no concept of how vital and vitally important the concept of prayer is to everything that we are and everything that we do. We look at it in that ritualistic sense far too often, and many of the churches that are around us here have embedded that into their system, the ritualistic forms and fashions of prayer. Ritualistically, mindlessly said, simply going through the motions and going at it by rote. We don't understand how vitally important it is for the maturity of the saint, for the growing and the conformity of each one of us to the image of Jesus Christ. We have lost that because we have bought into the ritualistic side of it. Here at the academy on every day, the classes meet in their classrooms, and the first thing that they do of a morning is they go get together, and they'll say their pledges. I pledge allegiance to this flag and that flag in the Bible. Say their pledges, and then everybody shares a prayer request or two, and then the next thing that happens is that there's a prayer that's made, and everybody then goes about their day and goes about their process. There are Christians that get together, get up in the morning, and the first thing that they do is a good thing, go and get their Bible and read a few minutes in there, have about 3, 4, 5 minutes worth of prayer, and then we're done for the day. The ritualistic part has been done. We have checked that box. We're good to go. I've prayed. I'm prayed up, and now I'm ready for my day. And any and all of that can miss the whole point of prayer. God's not interested in the ritual. He's not interested in the ritualistic part of prayer. He is interested in how that affects your relationship with Him. He is interested in the relational part of all of that. We have prayer books out there for all occasions. Just pick one up and just say the prayer that's in there. It misses the whole point of what prayer is about. It misses the contact points. It misses those places, and it misses that link and that connection between the spiritual world and the physical world when we do things in a ritualistic type of way. You see, prayer is not a task that is to be done. It's not a to-do list thing that needs to be ticked off of your list. It's to be communicating as a part of a relationship. It's a communication, not a task to be performed. Take yourself over to Matthew chapter 6 for just a minute. Let me remind you of this. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me stop there for just a minute and take a look at that one particular verse, because it says a whole bunch about prayer and about the relational aspect of it in that one verse. Go into your prayer closet. When you get in there, close the door on your prayer closet. I mean, you're in your prayer closet. What's the big deal about closing the door? You know, you're in there. You're in the secret place. You're away from everybody else. But we have to close the door too. That's what he says. Close the door on that. And when you do, pray to your Father. Don't say pray to God. It says pray to your Father. And so what this is hammering on and what this is strumming on is talking about the relational aspect of prayer. It's about a relationship. It's not about ticking something off of your list. It is a private matter between you and your Father. It is a familial discussion that we are to be having with our Father. It's a family discussion that takes place behind closed doors. And in a family discussion, there's a lot of things that come out, eh? We have family discussions at the house from time to time, okay? We don't have them in the fellowship hall. We have them at the house, behind closed doors, as a family, and there's a discussion to be had there. It's a familial matter. It's a relationship matter that we're discussing here in this. And it's in secret. It's in private. And sometimes it gets loud, and sometimes it gets quiet, and sometimes there's laughing, and sometimes there's crying. Because of the relationship that's involved. And everybody understands that when we're having a family discussion like that, that what my goal in all of that is to get above all the mess. To get above all the mess, that there's something we're shooting at and that we're missing on. Or that we want to affirm something that's taking place in a good fashion rather than in a poor fashion. So it can be a positive meeting and it can be a negative type of meeting. But the whole point of it is honest. It is honest and it is direct and it is straight at that point. And this is what he's getting at. Don't be out here trying to put on a big show out here for everybody else. Don't be putting on a show for other people. This is a family matter. This is a family relationship. This is a familial thing that we are into here. Now let's get honest. Let's get real about what we have before us. For as long as it takes. There's sometimes the kids and all of them will be like, oh, I just want this to be over. Huh? I just want this to be over. But the Father wants us to stay there till it gets worked out. Father wants us to stay there until everything is sorted out. And that's what your Father wants. Your Heavenly Father wants the same thing. He wants things worked out with you. He wants this to be a building relationship between you and Him. If you say, there are those that at that point say, well, you know what, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. And what generally that comes from is because you've heard too many people praying up here. Or you've heard people praying in your classrooms. Or you've heard them praying around the world somewhere else. And so when you use the excuse of, well, I don't know what to pray or don't know how to pray, what you really mean is that I don't know the words that somebody else is using. And how's that going to benefit you if you're having a discussion with your Father anyway? To talk to Him like somebody else talked to Him. Huh? You see, there's a whole language that you use with your Father that is completely different than what you use with maybe your preacher. Or maybe with your friends. You can be real with Him. You don't have to have the word. You don't have to have the right word. He knows what your heart means. He knows what you're saying from your heart. You might say blue, but he knows in your heart that meant red. Huh? You didn't exactly know what that word meant that you threw at him, but he knew what was in your heart. And it's a relational matter, you see. So a lot of times folks say, I don't know how to pray or don't know what to pray. It's because you've been listening to other people and not praying. And not working on the relationship and just letting her rip, letting her fly. You can have devotions every day and not be praying. And there's folks that are just talking to talk, instead of praying to the Father. It's a father-child conversation that you're having. A father-child conversation. And what father expects their child to know everything? What father expects their child to have everything down pat? Well, our Father doesn't either. A child's heart being engaged by a dad's heart. And that's what it means, let us come boldly into the throne of grace. We can come boldly as a child of God, you see. We can come boldly as that child would come boldly to a father in their own home. Because we know the Father. You see. I come boldly because I know His character. I know who He is and I know that He loves me. And I can bring anything into that closet. I can bring anything into that conversation with Him. I can bring anything to that communication. And know that He's going to work through it with me. He's talking to somebody that loves me. It's me telling him how I feel. Me telling him what I think. And him being willing to listen to that and to communicate back to me how I might ought to rethink that. We're to pray without ceasing. Never not be praying. Just like never not be breathing. To neglect the communication with our Father leaves us in the same shape after just a little short time. Let me read the rest of this right here, and we'll move back to where we were. Verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Then he gives us the model for it. Our Father. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Amen. It's a family relationship, and it's a family thing that we do when we pray. We talk to the great God and Father, Father of all. Are your prayer conversations one way or are they two way? That's a sign of maturity as well. If your prayer conversations are one way, still one way, then something's not making contact. Something's not making contact. The Holy Spirit is not engaged. The goal is to have two-way conversation, to have two-way communication. This is what prayer is to move us towards. Ritual praying is going to be one way. That's you doing all the talking. And relational praying is give and take. It's two way. The more engaged you are with ongoing prayer in your life, the more engaged the Holy Spirit is in your life. And the more engaged the Holy Spirit is in your life, the more He can prompt you. And the more that He can move you and guide you and lead you. This is why it's important to pray without ceasing. That we continually keep those contact points engaged so that He is engaged in our life. So that the spiritual life and the physical life can be linked together so that this physical life can be changed, transformed in the way that we walk through this life. Without the link that is there, then we sometimes do what natural men do. We have to have the link in place to avoid the pitfalls and the problems of the carnal life, the fleshly life, the old nature that is engaged there. Everybody with me? Are we understanding, or am I out there somewhere and taking a long walk by myself this morning? When he's not engaged, the Holy Spirit, then you're functioning on your own. You are functioning apart from him. You get that? And when you're functioning apart from him, guess what? There's a lot of room for error there. Because you and I aren't very good at doing things the proper way. And for the right reasons. Jesus tells us over in John chapter 15, he said, without me you can do what? Without me you can do what is that? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And so when we're not in contact, don't have that contact point with the Holy Spirit of God, then I'm doing what I can do instead of what he can do. And it's only what he can do that brings glory to himself. Turn to John 15 for just a minute. Read it for yourself. Look at verse 4. Somebody that talks in red says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, this is talking about growth. This is talking about progressing. All right? It's not talking about salvation here. This is talking about growing, progressing in this faith. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Got to have the contact points together. You get that? Got to be in contact. Contact with that Holy Spirit of God in order to do what he wants us to do, in order to perform, in order to grow, to progress the way that we need to progress. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Growth. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. Hey, wait a minute. This turned into prayer again, didn't it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You get the point of that right there? You see, there's another problem that we have with our prayers. When we pray, it's about what I want and what I'm going to get. Huh? How many prayers do I hear and have I heard over the years where well-meaning and good-hearted Christians come in and say, oh, dear Lord, bless me and bless me and bless, and I need a blessing. And bless this and bless that and bless and bless and bless and bless me, Lord. Bless everybody. Blessings all around. Throw down the blessings. Huh? I want what I want. And I'm asking you to give it to me. And what he says right here is if his word abides in you, then you'll pray like you ought to. And when you pray like you ought to, he gets the glory. He gets the glory. Huh? So when the contact points are in place and the Holy Spirit is engaged and the spiritual, that spiritual life and that physical life are linked together in all of this, and the Spirit of God is superintending what's taking place here, what comes out of my mouth and out of my heart should be something that would be pleasing unto God, that should be something that his heart is about, because I'm abiding in him. He is loving, he is caring, he is all these things, and it's flowing through me, and I'm talking to him about things, And it's going to give him glory whenever he answers that prayer. Now, when it gives him glory, you can be sure that he's going to answer that. He'll answer according to his word. He's given his word on some things. And so when you bring that up in a conversation and you bring that out with him, your father, and remind your father about some things that he's done said about some things and what he'd like to see and how much you'd like to see those same things, and you've agreed with him, guess what comes in? He'll answer those prayers, and sometimes it'll bless you. Huh? But if your goal is to be blessed, then you're off track and out of kilter. And that's what he's saying with this right here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Are you praying for what you want? Or are you praying for what will give God glory? If you're praying for what will give God glory, that's grown-up praying. That's grown-up stuff. That's mature stuff right there. And this is what he's looking for. He's looking for you to progress and to get beyond being all selfish about everything that that we have before us. He wants us growing up in this faith, progressing in things. We're not yet perfect, but he wants us progressing in that direction. And he wants us progressing in prayer. I've given you enough to chew on right here this morning for that piece of that. We may hit this prayer thing about two more weeks is what my plan is. We'll see what the Lord's plan on some of that is. But I want to show you some of the precursors to this. I want to show you some of the things that go along in the middle of it and the far end of it over the next couple of weeks. So I've given you enough to think about right now. Giving you something to really kind of think about and look at as the principle that we have before us. This maturity and growing in prayer and the link that we have here. Next week we're going to talk about how that link came into being. How that link comes into being and what that means for us. So that we can be blessed as we get to see the truth of that particular matter. Everybody okay? Question. Are you progressing in your Christian life? Are you progressing in his presence? Are you progressing in the matter of prayer? Are there some things that you've got a little off in some of these things? Are you willing to work on them with between you and him? Are you willing to bring those up in that secret place, in that closet, and let the Lord put the link in place for you so that you can move forward in maturity in this life? Are you willing to do so? Well, I trust and hope that you are. We're going to leave that. You're going to be on your own recognizance to go through those things this week. If I moved a little fast, make sure you go back out online, pull down the tape of this, and go through it line by line. Listen a little. Listen close. Listen on purpose with what we have there. That's what it's put out there for, to help us progress in the Christian life, to progress in the faith.